Hello, Forever and a Day listeners. What some of you may not know is that on August 3rd of 2022, we lost our dear Steve Beavers. This season, Steve was a new cast member, portraying the complex role of loving but tough Hastings patriarch, Stuart Hastings. We were enchanted by his performances and his dedication to the show, which he had just joined. When Steve passed, we were all in shock. We were in the middle of recording our fourth season, but we knew we had to take a break. We took 2 weeks off and then came back stronger than ever in order to honor his memory. What you're about to hear in the upcoming episodes is our tribute to Steve. We loved him. He was funny when he would flub a line. He loved working with Amelia Marshall and Diana Collins and Timothy Blocker Jr. and Desmond Hawkins. And it is safe to say that his memory will live on for forever and a day. Night has come to the city of Augustus, Illinois. At the Bay Ridge Hotel in Mark's suite, Mark and Isabella are sitting on the couch, kissing one another rather passionately.
Thank you for the champagne and the lovely dinner.
I'd do anything for you. And I'm so happy that you managed to get your plan set into motion. I just wish you would tell me what this plan is so I could be a part of it.
I'll tell you in time, my lover.
I'm sure you will. Anyway, give me one sec. I gotta take this. Hello? Oh, hey, Dad. Yeah, no worries. Everything is just fine here. When will you and Simon be back? Oh, that's great. I'll call Mom and let her know. Love you too. Bye now.
Is everything okay with your dad and brother?
Yeah, they had an emergency to take care of at our headquarters. I wish Dad would have taken me, but I understand why he took Simon. Anyway, they're headed to the airport now. If you'll excuse me, I have to go and call my mother.
At Colin's home in the living room, Colin, Caitlin, and Elaine all walk over to the couch.
I cannot thank you two enough for meeting me here, instead of the mansion. When it comes to talking about Emma, it's just too hard to be there sometimes.
No worries, sweetheart. I understand.
Me too, brother. By the way, I did get your email with the security footage attached. I can't believe we never saw that video before.
Same here. Thank God for Natasha being extra thorough.
She is good at what she does.
That she is. In fact, she is so good at what she does that she didn't take the video as the final nail in the investigation. She has been trying to get more footage from that day. She has been working on different angles, other cameras around the property, and so much more.
Well, has she found anything else?
I think so.
What do you mean?
Well, she sent me another video, but I haven't watched it yet. That is because I wanted the two of you here for support. I can't do this alone. I just know it.
Oh, honey, you are never alone, son. Now, go ahead. Play the video. We're here for you. I promise.
Colin then picks up his iPad from the coffee table after having let out a deep breath. He then begins to go to his files tab on his iPad.
Okay, I'm typing in the temporary password now. Natasha didn't want to leave much of a trail, so we've got to watch this video right now.
No worries.
We'll pay close attention.
That we will do.
Alrighty, here we go.
Colin logs into the video and then presses the play icon. The security footage begins to play as Elaine, Caitlin, and Colin watch on, trying to see what's going on in the video.
I don't understand. We already saw all this.
No. Just wait. The video isn't over yet.
And the camera just switched to a different angle. Give it a sec.
Colin, Elaine, and Caitlin continue to watch the video as suddenly, after a brief moment of silence, an expression of shock falls upon all of their faces.
Oh my...
Is that...
I think we all know who that is.
It's Andrew, Dad's best friend. What the hell was he doing on our property the day of Emma's death?
At Hastings Advertising in Stewart's office...
Diana, I can't just sit down with you for a meeting. Why don't you just tell Stuart to give me a call and I can set up a meeting with him?
You don't get it, do you?
Get what?
You're not going anywhere. I tried to play along, but I can't any longer. I know that you and my husband are keeping something from me, and I want to know what is going on right this very moment.
I don't know what you're implying. But I don't share any part of my life with your husband.
Then why did the two of you have a meeting at your home? And I'm not buying the whole indie film excuse. Come on, Rhonda.
Diana, I didn't want it to come out like this.
What the hell does that mean?
Diana, your husband and I share a past. It's a very complicated past. You know, this isn't easy for me to open up about.
Oh, now you have me very curious. Start talking, Rhonda, now.
At Memorial Hospital on the fifth floor, Beau steps off of the elevator and rushes over to Olivia, who is standing over by the main desk.
Nurse Bookman, I came as soon as I could.
No worries, Detective.
So, you said you had an update for me concerning Donovan Aldridge, is that right?
Correct. I found something in his room just a moment ago, and I think it's best you come see it. I think you should follow me now.
Wait, before we go in there, is he awake at all?
Yes.
Very good. And what exactly did you find? What am I walking into here?
Detective, you are one step closer to finding out who shot Donovan. You are about to find your biggest clue yet in his hospital room.
Back at Memorial Hospital in Callum's office, Callum is sitting at his desk looking up at the clock as the time ticks on by.
Blood tests that I have no idea how they produced the results they did. A doctor that I trusted, the head of the pediatric department, is harassing his ex-wife. An HR department that has been flooded with relationship applications for people that I didn't even know were seeing each other. And a felon who has been in a coma for so long. What the hell has happened to my hospital? And what can I do to get things back on track?
At the Tasty Bean Cafe on the patio, Lenore is standing on the patio refilling a coffee urn with a freshly brewed Turkish blend. As she closes the top of the urn, Stephen enters the establishment through the patio doors and goes to her.
Oh, good evening, Stephen.
Hi, Lenore.
What brings you by? You need another coffee fix?
I might have a cup, but the reason I came in here actually was to apologize to you.
What for?
Well, see, the other day I ran out of here so quickly before I even could begin to enjoy the cup of coffee you poured for me. I just wanted you to know that it wasn't because of anything you did. Not at all.
Well, that's good to know. I did notice you ran out of here minutes after I served you. Is everything okay, Stephen? Does the fact that you look really tired at this moment have anything to do with why you ran out of here? I mean, are you going through something that you need to talk about? You know that I'm the best listener in the whole world.
I know this to be true. But, Lenore, I can't just talk with you about this. It wouldn't feel right.
Okay, Stephen, you're starting to worry me. Ever since the day I met you, we've always been good friends. You know you can tell me anything.
It's about Donovan.
What about Donovan?
It's about the night of his shooting, Lenore. I haven't told anybody this before, so what I'm about to tell you I need you to keep it confidential. No matter what. Lenore, can I trust you with this? Can I trust you with this secret?
We've been friends for a while now. I mean, remember how much I checked in on you during the time you were staying with Melanie in that care facility?
I do. Yes. And thank you for that.
Of course. Now what's going on? What do you need to get off your chest?
I was there that night. I was at Donovan's apartment the night of his shooting.
What? You were?
Yes.
Steven, why?
Because he had done a lot of stuff to Melanie. At that point, after she broke things off with him, he was becoming a nutcase with each passing day. He was losing it. I had to confront him. I couldn't take any more. The night of the high school reunion, I told Melanie that I had forgotten my wallet at the hotel, so I left for just a few minutes. I went to the bastard's apartment to confront him.
Oh my God. Then what, Steven? Please tell me you didn't shoot him that night.
I didn't.
Well, that's a relief. So if you just confronted the man, then why have you had this on your conscience all this time?
Because, well, it's been a lot to carry this whole time.
Lenore then gets closer to Steven and hugs him. Back at Hastings Advertising in Stewart's office.
Go ahead. I'm waiting. What past do you share with my husband?
I really think Stewart should be here for all of this.
And I think this is just between you and I right now. Rhonda, I deserve to know how you have been involved with my husband. Who are you?
I'm your husband's ex-lover. Diana, we met decades ago. You know, he was so ambitious back then, and he was caring. He was all I ever looked for in a man, especially as I was down in the gutter of addiction. But you know what? He picked me right back up out of the gutter, and I stopped all of those destructive behaviors. Everything was great, but then one day he turned sour. But I guess that's because he found out that I was pregnant. Well, I had my baby. And he left without even meeting that child. But for about 33 years now, he has been sending me money in order to take care of his absence.
What? Oh my God. You had a child with my husband?
Diana, I am so sorry that you had to find out this way.
32 years.
What?
That means we got together a year after you gave birth to your son. We've been married for 25 of those years. You know, my daddy never liked him. There was just something about Stewart that always rubbed him the wrong way. I defended him for so many years. I told my father that he was wrong. And before my father passed, before he joined my mother in the big blue sky, he told me that he was happy for me. He didn't think that Stewart and I would be married for more than a month. He was happy that we built something meaningful together. But then he had me bend down and he whispered into my ear, "Be careful. You never know what type of secrets that man has."
Diana, you should really get Stewart on the phone.
Should I now? Well, I can't do that. When my phone rang just a few minutes ago, it was my son. He told me that my other son and Stewart had gone to the airport. They should be landing in Manhattan at any time now.
Well, I don't want to discuss this any further. And I'm sorry that it all had to come out this way, but Diana, you should hear your husband's side of the story.
I can't believe I'm telling you this. Any of this, rather, Rhonda. The marriage I share with my husband has been crumbling for so long. We've had no choice but to move forward with a divorce. We haven't even told our kids yet. Some nights we sleep in separate beds. We only put on a good show for our sons and society.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I bet you are. I moved to this town with him. I uprooted my life for him. I uprooted the legacy we had created through this company, a Black dynasty. Rhonda, as a Black woman, you understand how hard it is for people to look at us, to look past our skin color, and to consider us valued parts of this world. I've had to work hard for every single cent I have ever earned. I made that money with my husband. I worked just as hard as he did. And come to find out, you were getting a portion of that money?
It was to support our son.
I don't care.
Diana rushes up to the bar cart in the office and flips it over out of anger and rage.
If I knew the right words to say, I would. But Diana, I want it to come clean to you. It was Stuart who wanted to hold back the truth.
How noble of you. I'm sorry to hear that your son never had a father. I'm sorry to hear that you had to battle addiction. But I will not be sorry for you being some cheap slut who was more than willing to take my money. And you keep saying that you want to hear from Stuart. Well, let's be real. You said it yourself. He was never going to tell me. If it wasn't for you moving to this city, he wouldn't have never come clean. And your son doesn't even know what he looks like.
You're right. There's a chance that the secret might never come out.
Exactly. Now, Rhonda, please leave. I don't want you in this office. I don't want you in my life. And I want you to stay away from my family.
Very well, then. Again, I am so sorry.
I bet you are.
At Stephanie's home in the living room.
I have to say, that was a lovely meal that you prepared tonight.
Thanks, Mom. I came across that recipe online, and I'll have to be sure and print you off a copy.
That would be much appreciated.
Certainly.
So, what would you like for dessert? We certainly have an array of options considering all the baking that I did yesterday.
As good as dessert sounds right now, I must put it off.
Oh, darling, there's no need to watch your figure. You look fabulous.
Thank you. I equate losing a few pounds to all the stress Leslie Marshall caused me by taking my job from me.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
It's okay. Being Isaac's 50-50 partner at the Magnifier in order to save him from financial ruin has made up for a lot. And I don't want to talk about my business life right now, though. We have more pressing things to discuss.
Oh? What's going on?
Mom, the reason I suggested we stay in tonight was so I could cook for you and because I desperately needed to shut out the outside world in order to talk to you. You see, I feel as though you're keeping something from me in regards to the night Donovan was shot, and I can't take it anymore. I need you to tell me what you've been keeping from me all these months.
Oh, Stephanie, my dear daughter, you are right. I have been keeping something from you about that night, and I think it is time I come clean as well.
Back at Colin's home in the living room, Miranda and Colin walk over to Elaine and Caitlin, having just come from the front door.
Miranda, thank you for coming over on such short notice.
Oh, no worries at all. The voicemail you left me sounded rather urgent. I have to ask, what is going on here?
Well, Miranda, you remember when the police decided to make Emma's death investigation a cold case, right? I mean, it was all over the newspapers.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Well, ever since my son's life has settled down, he decided to hire a private investigator who works for our family quite often. And the PI has come across some shocking evidence after weeks of searching for something.
Wow. Well, I'm happy for all of you.
Thank you.
But I still don't understand why you called me over here, Colin.
Well, Miranda, the evidence that was found is a video that came from our security cameras on the estate. And the footage shows someone that you know quite well being on our property the day of Emma's explosion. We're hoping that you'll watch the video and tell us your thoughts.
Please, Miranda, your thoughts on the video could mean everything to my investigation into my wife's death.
Of course I'll watch it. But Colin, who exactly is this in the video that I would know?
My dad's best friend and your ex-boyfriend, Andrew Rutledge.
Come again?
Back at Colin's home in the living room, Miranda shuts her iPad off after having just viewed the video that Colin sent to her.
Wow, that is some video. I can't believe that Andrew is in on it. I have no clue what his involvement is in all of this, or even if he has any.
Well, Miranda, you and Andrew were still together at that point, right?
Actually, no, we weren't. I had broken up with him around that time because he was talking with Gunnar on a regular basis. You see, I viewed it as a betrayal after how hard I had worked to get him off of those federal charges for being Gunnar's right-hand man in the election rigging.
What? He and Gunnar talked regularly?
Oh, yeah. Did you not know that?
Well, I knew they had spoken once or twice, but I didn't know they spoke on a regular basis. How often did my ex-husband and his best friend speak to one another?
Elaine, I would estimate that they were speaking to each other at least 4 times a week.
Mom, what do you think that means?
I don't know. But between Natasha finding this footage and Miranda sharing this information with us, well, it makes me wonder if your father's disappearance and the day Emma died are somehow connected.
Mom, that's really something you're saying there. I mean, if you think they're connected, do you think Dad might have had something to do with Emma's death?
Oh, no. Oh, my God, no. Not at all. But, I mean, they didn't see eye to eye, but I don't think your father would have ever wanted Emma to die.
I agree with you, Mom. He wouldn't have wanted Connor to grow up without a mother. Even after all Dad has done, he's not that cold.
Well, what is it that you all want me to do exactly? I mean, why show me this video?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Miranda. You see, I had thought with you getting involved because of your relationship with Andrew. And I know what kind of connections you have, thanks to your long career as a lawyer. So I'm hoping you will be able to help us find my husband and in turn find Andrew. I think they're somewhere together.
Oh, Elaine, I'm so sorry.
What does that mean, Miranda?
It's no secret that Jonah and I are suspects in Donovan's shooting. You have to believe me when I say neither he nor I pulled that trigger. But because of that, I have to sit this one out. I have to focus on saving both Jonah and myself from facing prison time. I hope you can all understand.
As much as it pains me to admit it, I do understand.
If you do find Andrew, let me know. And if this whole Donovan mess gets cleared up soon, then I will gladly help you find out exactly what Andrew was doing on your property the day of Emma's death. And not to mention, I will help you put him behind bars. Colin, I'm so sorry for everything you're going through, but I know that justice will be served one day.
Back at Stephanie's home in the living room.
Mom, enough hiding. Enough hiding the truth about that night from me. Please, Tell me you were serious just now about coming clean.
I am. This has all gone on far too long. Stephanie, I was at Donovan's apartment that night. I'm sorry that I made you believe that you had told me all the details about what his place looked like. I
can't believe this. I can't believe you've lied to me for all these months. You've even lied to Detective Reynolds.
I know, but I had to. Stephanie, I couldn't just come out with the truth. Detective Reynolds is ready to arrest people left and right for this crime. I just wanted to see Donovan face to face. I wanted to see that man who's been torturing my daughter, and I wanted to tell him off once and for all.
I appreciate you wanting to fight for me.
I love you.
I love you too, but Mom! Oh, I don't know who could be at the door at this hour.
You should get it.
Danielle, JJ.
Hi, Stephanie.
Stephanie and Felicia managed to compose themselves ever so slightly. However, Danielle and JJ look on at them, sensing some tension. At the Augustus Community Park by private area, Melanie is pacing around the bench at the private area until Colin walks up to her.
Melanie.
Hello, Colin.
Thank you for meeting me. I just came from a meeting with my sister and my mom, and, well, that's why I'm a bit late.
No worries. Why did you want to meet with me, though?
Well, you see, we have a lot to talk about. And I don't think what I have to say can wait any longer.
Back at Memorial Hospital in Donovan's hospital room, Olivia and Beau are seated next to Donovan's hospital bed as Donovan is looking over at them.
Mr. Aldridge, you wrote about there being two shooters that night. Is that correct?
Donovan nods his head.
Do you know who they were?
Detective, these two people worked together, and they were disguised a great deal.
I didn't know you could speak.
Barely.
Were there any defining features on these two individuals? Please tell me what you know.
Donovan, this detective needs to.
I understand.
Good. So what were their defining features?
There was a woman and a man. The woman had a very small angel tattoo on her left hand. It looked faded. I saw it upon a gun being raised. And the man had a very small, faint scar on his left hand.
Oh my goodness. Mr. Aldridge, I'm going to bring every suspect in your case together. But I need you to tell me who would have wanted you dead.
Take a seat, detective. You're going to be here a while.
Back at Hastings Advertising in Stewart's office, Diana is standing over the broken glassware from the bar cart that she tipped over during her confrontation with Rhonda. She is also talking on her cell phone.
Stewart, it's me, your wife. Look, you and Simon should have landed in Manhattan by now. I hope you're not avoiding me. We have a lot to talk about. That is why I wish that you would have just answered your damn phone.
Meanwhile, on a highway, somewhere in Illinois, a rather large car accident has taken place on such a gloomy night. Officers and ambulances are everywhere as a crowd starts to form around a Mercedes-Benz that collided with a semi-truck. This has been Forever and a Day, created by KCS Hutchison. Co-executive producers KCS Hutchison, Candace Mack, and Demi Morgan. Narrated by KCS Hutchison. Written by KCS Hutchison, Candace Mack, Emmy Morgan, and Eric Andras. Music and sound effects provided by Fesselian Studios and Soundstripe. Theme song provided by Soundstripe. This episode starred Bruce Van Griffin as Beau Reynolds, Michael Carr as Donovan Aldridge, Christina Sullivan as Stephanie Markham, Janelle Allen as Felicia Richardson, Candace Mack as Danielle Frazier, Bart Blackneo as Colin Harper, Elizabeth Von Isser as Elaine Harper, Lucretia Lyon as Caitlin Harper, Renee Saran as Miranda Williams, Karen Knebel as Melanie Walters, Terry Lehmer as Lenore Parkhurst, Aaron Clark as Stephen Langenfeld, Diana Collins as Diana Hastings, Amelia Marshall as Rhonda Jeffries, Neville J. Lee as Callum Becker, with Emmy Morgan as Olivia Bookman, Desmond Hawkins as Mark Hastings, and Ashley Stewart as Isabella Reed. Join us again for an all-new episode of Forever in a Day on your favorite podcast streaming platform. This podcast is recorded under a SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement.